Oh, hey, Kev, how are you, man?
I'm good.
Hey, man, well, congrats on this album. It is, I don't know if John told you anything, but when I first got the first single, I just went, oh, my God, they're back, but with vocals. What's going on? And it was all at once. You know, in March, we got the announcement of the signing to Nuclear Blast. We got the, of course, then we got told we're going to get an album and there's going to be a new lineup and you're going to be on vocals. And it was just like, wow, we got everything all at once. But look, last year I was sitting on the couch getting fatter, eating Cheetos, drinking beer and watching Netflix. Meanwhile, you guys are working your ass off, clearly.
Trust me, I definitely had some time to squeeze in some food. I got snacks everywhere around me right now. But yeah, man, it's been a great experience so far. I was actually just talking to our drummer, Matt, just a moment ago, and we're excited. We're trying to keep the content flowing. You know, we got some drum videos coming, more guitar videos coming, and yeah, it's definitely interesting. I love seeing people's reaction, especially knowing the band prior, like being it was an instrumental band. The band was always intended to have vocals. It just never worked out. You know, the lineup changes were constantly switching around. And then, you know, I was in Suffocation for a bit in early 2017 and 16 into 17. And then I became a free agent. And once I separated from them, Wes hit me up right away. And he was really? Like, hey, don't know if this is what you're into, but check this out. Because I have more of a, you know, brutal death metal background for just like what I like to do. But he showed me that. And I remember hearing it the first time. I was like, dang, like this is technical, but still got the beef in it I like. You know, it's got to be pissed. Like it bring like I know Wes is a big Pantera fan and stuff. But it's like once I got to know him and talk to him and find out like what his inspirations are and what my inspirations are. And like we do have this cross of paths that are like, oh shit, we do like Morbid Angel. Oh shit, we do like Pantera. We do like Alice in Chains. We do like, and it was just all these influences for both of us are coming out into this. And I'm excited. There's a lot more anger riffs coming, more angry riffs coming out in the next release. You know, we're currently starting to mess with some stuff. So
wow, already straight into more gear.
Yeah, Wes, the moment he was like, the minute I don't have to think about this record right now, we're going to start just writing new stuff. It's just going to be fun as hell.
Oh, that is awesome to hear. Now, the songs, Ulysses, Thy Underling, 40 Stories, we're going to talk about all these. Now, Putrid Sunrise is the latest single. These are the songs I've been playing on the show in anticipation of this album, and each single has impressed me more and more. Did you know, when you came in, did you know that it was really special straight away? You felt that click?
I think it was that moment that I heard what he had put out and he showed me what he was working on. And I was like, this is just going to hit different. You know what I mean? Like, for me personally, it's like, I've been struggling to find like new music just as a listener, like something that's really going to captivate and pull in. Like, I mean, I listen to, again, a lot of death metal stuff, but like when I venture over to the other side of more, like, I guess commercial, but also I guess more just like bands like Killswitch and bands like Slipknot, like in that realm of like, everyone's got their thing that makes them original. When I heard Wes's versions and I was like, okay, this is what I've been looking for and waiting for. And now I'm just thankful to be a part of it.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And maybe that's why I've gravitated towards it so much, because it doesn't sound like anything else that's out there. And that's a really hard thing to do in metal. And it's a really hard thing to find that. You know, if you get a song that I listen to so much music doing this show, but you just know, it's a primal thing that you just go, whoa, you know, I listen to these albums a couple of times to write notes and things like that. And then I put it on and I do something else and wait to see what cuts through to me. The title track just this morning did that while I was doing some other work. And I was trying to think, what part of it, where was it? And it was after the guitar solo, and then there's another short verse, and then it goes into that heaving part where you can just kind of feel it just going back and forth, and it just got me. It got me right in the chest, and I thought, can you imagine that live, like with the crowd just going, you know, going nuts at you? It's a really goosebumpy kind of moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think, even you asking me, like, did you know it was going to be this way or that way? I remember when I left the studio after tracking everything that it actually hit me harder. Cause it's like, you know, We call it demo-itis. You know, you hear the first version and that's like trapped in your brain and you're like, all right, I got it. I got it now. And then when you hear it again, after you track the mass, like your final track, and you get it, like we were in the studio with John Douglas and he was kind of like just showing us, he wasn't mixing it there, but he would do like draft mixes to show us like, hey, this is what it's going to kind of sound like. Like we're going to send it to Jeff and he's going to really bring out the volume of everything. Mm. But when we were talking like effects and ideas and like in 40 Stories, when you come out of the solo, there's like this swell that happens on Wes's voice. That was something that I told John and Wes. I was like, try doing something like a stereo expander in your ear. So it makes it go from small to big. And like, just after hitting all those little notes and little fun parts and getting to like do the car test and drive home, like, cause it was about, I think it was about a 40 minutes to an hour away from where Wes was living to where the studio was. So we were just listening to the songs on repeat the whole way back home. And we were just like, this is going to be nuts. like we were kind of just surprising ourselves with it. And we were just like super stoked.
That must have been an amazing feeling. You're in the car and you kind of look at each other and go, holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially 40, because 40 was not intentionally supposed to have vocals on it. 40 was going to be our instrumental track.
Right. Well, and so you just mentioned that Wes is doing the cleaner vocals on that. So,
yep.
And that song really, and those vocal reminded me of Troy Sanders in a way, the way that he sings and projects. He's got that real guttural, you know, clean, but dirty, you know, crunchy. And then you come over the top and it's just like, that is, when that one dropped, I was like, this is, this is really special because it's not flat to the boards. But it's still a huge melody, brutal, but intricate at the same time. And I think it's what you mentioned with that that swelling effect sucks you in. It's like a huge pair of arms that just drags you in like a monster or something. It's just a cool song.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, we're really happy about it. It was one of those things where we had that song as an instrumental because Wes wanted to have one on there just to pay credit to the last album, being that we do have a lot of fans now that were from the original and even now saying like, what the hell happened? They have vocals now. It's like, yeah, like I said, it was always part of the plan. It's just that, you know, they wanted to put out something with what they had. But you know, I think we were supposed to have Sugar Paper. The instrumental had vocals on it. And what happened was we tracked it and we were just not feeling it the same way we felt everything else. It wasn't clicking with us to be like worthy of like, we don't have to force anything. We got a lot of time, you know, the pandemic's going, we have a lot of time to like record, sit and listen and think about things. And then like, we can re-return in 3 months, 4 months if we wanted to. Yeah. And that's what happened with 40. I flew out and we just redid, we did stuff over 40 and Wes was feeling experimental and said, let's try some shit. I was like, okay.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about Sugar Paper. That was my exact question. Was it ever going to have vocals on the track or do you just agreed that it remained?
We had it. It just didn't click. Like there were parts that were cool. And like my favorite part was like over the blast beats, ba-dum, 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 dun, dun. You know, we had some cool punchy stabby stuff in there, but it's the whole song is supposed to be like an experience, you know, the idea behind it, just talking to Wes about it, the name Sugar Paper, he was explaining like ecstasy and like MDMA and all these, you know, it's like a type of, that's the texture of what you're seeing. And so the structure of the song is like really soft. And then it's like, once you're deeper into your trip, you're freaking out. And that's where the blast beats are coming in. But then if you look at the pattern of the song, it dwells out just the same way it ramped up, you know? So it's a cool visual experience to put alongside of the song.
I think the sequencing on this is really important as well, because you do have that interlude with Zero in there. Mm-hmm. And moments like Sleep Has Become Giants, that slower chugging, almost ethereal. Did you react to the music with your writing, or did you have songs written and then added them to music? How did it work in that space?
Wes had a lot of it written. Right. Wes had a lot of this written, you know, in the future, I'm going to be doing more of the vocals, the lyrics rather. But it's, this album was, I know, very special to Wes. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been through a lot of stuff. We've all been kind of through a lot of stuff. And I think what's cool is that we as a group all relate to the lyrics because they're not so on the nose of what the issue that he's talking about is, but it's there. It's how you perceive it. It's how it, you know, it's like what they say about books, how you It's all about how the reader perceives, you know. But like we have a song Exponent is about AI taking over the like just wiping out the human race. Sleepers is about depression and, you know, other songs. Each song has its own core theme, which is kind of like what we named the album Sarcoma from. The track Sarcoma, the album was going to be, I forget if it was Ken or Will or whatever, but it was like, Will Sleepers Become Giants? Can Sleepers Become Giants? And I told Wes from my own personal side, I was like, I think that's just a mouthful. It's for an album name. I feel like I love the single, like, 2-3 syllables. Sarcoma. We just know, like, whenever someone now says Sarcoma, you know what they're talking about. You know what album, you know what feel, you know. And you know, the song Sarcoma is about just like people being in your way and like being toxic in your life, and it's a figurative form of cancer, you know what I mean, for us. And in the whole album as a whole, each song goes over each type of cancer that could be in your way, you know, depression, you know, hostility, you know trauma, like, you know, the whole song, the whole album wraps that up, and that kind of made it easier for us to name it that.
Yeah, so not necessarily a concept album, but they're all kind of linked in a way.
Right. Yeah. And with Wes's lyric writing for this album, I just felt it was too special to him for me to come in and muddy it up.
Yeah, right. Okay.
At the moment, what I had to provide, I was just kind of like death metal brain. I was like, all right, rip the limbs and pieces. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to come out and you know, compromise his vision of it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I had to take that on the chin.
So now it all makes sense with the video games and rip the limbs and just
get sword down the throat. But, you know, it's all that. I didn't want to do that to him. So I think, you know, I'm happy with the way the album came out. I'm very stoked on the response, and I think the future has a lot. It has a lot yet to show. I'm just excited that we kind of took a dive with songs like 40 and trying the singing stuff out, and it really worked in our favor. And I can't wait to do more.
I think for me, like when I got to Anodyne, the closing track of the album, it only cemented what I'd thought through the whole album. They could have tried any number of vocalists, but I'm glad Wes reached out to you, because the balance of the insane musicianship on this album with your guttural vocals makes it a really special, it's almost a yin and yang. It's you've got the beauty of the instruments, and then you've got this sword down the throat sort of approach with the vocals. And you know what I mean? It works. It just works. And it makes it, I mean, yeah, this could be absolutely an unrelenting death metal album, but it's not. It's more than that.
It's got layers. We got layers.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You are an onion. Alluvial is an onion now. So.
Hell yeah. So, yeah, that's what made, that's honestly what brought me in. Like, that's the thing that caught my attention and said, you know what, this could be something sick. Like, there were bands in the past that like really took on like the, I guess, the progressive metal role. But then, you know, you kind of hear it, like it becomes this copy paste in the genre. If someone says progressive tech metal to you, you already hear it. You know what I mean? You already have an expectation of what you're going to be listening to. Where I think with this, it kind of puts a little bit of a bump in the road. It's like, oh, well, what was that? Like, what kind of melody was that? What kind of what's he doing with his guitar there? What's this pattern over here? You know, it's definitely, we try to throw a little bit of differences in there. And now the more me and Wes have gotten together about this record, he now knows what I like and I know what he likes. And when I stayed out at his house last time, when we were tracking like the music videos and things like that, he just picked up the guitar and started riffing. He's like, I got an idea I'm trying to put out. And I went out to lunch and came back, and he had this, like, you know, I'm a New York death metal kid. And he had this song that starts with these big chunky stabs. And I'm just like, oh yeah, it's going to be for death metal dudes that love that track, but it's going to have all the other elements in it. And I love that right now we're really trying to be the band that doesn't really cater to a type. It's more that we have something for you.
Yeah, right. It when you mentioned, you know, the technical death prog kind of thing, one of the first bands that came to mind was our very own Psycroptic here in Australia. You said, you know what you're going to hear. That's what I think of. And I did hear, and I love them, by the way, but I did hear little bits in Alluvial that reminded me of that, but then it was just so different, so far away from it as well. And yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting album. And I think that if anyone wants to dip their toe into this area, this is a really great gateway drug album to get into that kind of stuff. You're still going to love, you're still going to get what you love, but you're going to get a whole new experience as well. I want to know more about, you know, the new writing that you're doing. So how far along is that already? Like, have you got ideas?
I don't want to overhype you. Not very far.
I think it's impossible to overhype this because I'm bloody excited by not only this album, but what else is going to come.
Yeah. I will tell you, like, it's hard because I think it's just his, you know, but all of our brains are constantly moving, right? We're constantly like excited from people's responses about each thing. And it kind of like, it's kind of like not telling us what to do on the next one, but it's getting us excited in what we want to show off for the next one. And I think, like, you know, there's so many bands that try to take a risk, like 2-3 albums into their career, that it may not work in their favor. Now they try singing later in their career, or now they try to pivot towards a different genre. Like, I love that we hit you with a bunch in the first album.
Yeah.
So now we can have like dark dwelling, depressive music, or we can have hyper blast beats in the next one. And like, we really want to dance around all the different genres super, super hard. And like, I could tell you, I have like on my phone 2 or 3 little demo tracks that are all maybe about a minute long, just to get an idea out of his head, you know, but they're sharp. They're mean, they're dark, they're low, they're slow, they're fast. And if you enjoyed the first one, you're going to love the second one.
Oh, mate, there's the quote.
It's still so new in the game.
There's the quote right there. Now, yeah. What sort of reaction did you get when you started playing it for friends of yours, not only within the industry, but do you have a confidant that you would play stuff to at all?
I mean, I was, when I came home from tracking, I had a few friends that I showed. I never really sent it around. I didn't want that to happen. Yeah, but like, I, you know, in the car, like, hey, we're going to Taco Bell. You want to listen to some new stuff, you know? And I definitely got some turned heads of like, huh, because, you know, I'm used to blasting like Dying Fetus in my car or whatever. And then when I put on this and they're like, oh, there's like singing parts, you know, some, it's just some people don't want to blend. They just want to stay on their road and just keep with that one thing. For me, I love a bunch of different things. And I get, for me, like there's a lot of bands that I listen to that don't, they'll mix it up so severely where it doesn't ever meet, you know, it'll be like one hyper high vocalist singing and then like guttural bree stuff. I'm like, well, what are we doing though? Like, where does this fit in the song? Like, it's just, now we're just doing stuff to do stuff. But like, for reasons like in 40, like, we try to layer, we try to harmonize, we try to, like, there's a thing in there that's giving you that feel for that song. And then Anodyne later in the album, it's just a death metal song, just blast beats and crazy stuff. Like, we know the time and place.
Yeah.
I think a lot of my friends were a little like confused, and that left me to feel like, I'm curious how the whole, like, anyone that knows me for my history is going to feel about this. But, you know, so far so good, man. It's been a really cool response.
Well, it's a very cool response from me, mate. I absolutely love it, and I'll be playing tracks from it for as long as I have to until I get the next album. So congratulations once again, man, and thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it, and apologies for not being able to do it last week. I had a migraine and just couldn't get out of the bedroom, but, mate, I do appreciate it so much, and good luck, and I look forward to speaking to you again as new stuff comes to hand.
Oh yeah, I'm excited. I'm at the point where it's like, I'm so excited how this is going, but I can't wait to have like one full track on a new thing. And that way, like, singles will start happening and moving again. Like, this whole experience is just so rushing. Like, I've been sitting on this record, listening to it in the shower just for the last almost 2 years. Mm. And it's just like, God, I feel like this is like a dirty secret that I can't tell anybody. And now that it's out, and people are praising it, it just feels unreal, and I can't wait to feel it again.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, man. I really love it, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, very soon, buddy. Take it easy.